Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. Yes, it is the Weekly Worldview, and we are back. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back to the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. It's so good to be back. We've been gone. We had technical difficulties, and then we had physical difficulties. Physical difficulties, I'm telling you. For the past 48 hours... I've been suffering with some combination of acid and sandpaper in every joint in my body. And I've had weird dreams that I was going to die. Dreams that I was being sucked down a river toward a swirling, sucking eddy of death. And I was afraid that I was going to die, but I have survived, at least until now. And I figured the best way to stop focusing on myself, which I have been doing for the past 48 hours... suffering through this illness, is to focus on you and the news of the week and try to get right back up on that horse, get back in the saddle for a new week, and just reject the idea that I am ill in any way. Psychologically overcome the illness. Oh, it's been rough. It's been rough. I'm telling you, I felt like a Russian journalist who published an article critical of Vladimir Putin last night. Oh, it was unbelievable. But we're back, and it's good to have you back, as I'm joined in studio, as always, by my extremely attractive audio engineer, who's trying to be interested. We're trying. We're trying to come back. It's been a rough week. I'll just start, I guess. I just want to open up. Now, I was not able to go on the air with the podcast here before, during, or after the historic inauguration of Donald J. Trump as the president and the exit of Barry Ho. I'm so sorry I missed it. It was such a big deal. But I find myself now on the other end of all that, or coming out the other side of all that. I'm a man without a side in the world. I don't have a side. Got my Fox News acquaintances, my MSNBC acquaintances. I can't relate to any of them. So I am a man without a side in the world, and I welcome you into my world, as we'll just start right here. But not right here, right there in Chicago, Illinois, from the Dark Irony File. NBC in Chicago reports that six people were shot last Wednesday night during a memorial for a victim of a previous act of, well, what NBC Chicago calls gun violence. Guns are on the run out there in Chicago, attacking people haphazardly and without any reason. Yes, yes, that's ironic, is it not? They were having a memorial for someone who was shot, and then a bunch of people got shot. And even more ironic, the mother of the person being memorialized was among those who was shot. And there we have it. Donald Trump is going to send in the feds or whatever. I don't know how you clean all that up, but we'll keep you posted on the situation in Chicago, as it is something of a harbinger for what's happening around the country. Yes, yes. Now, let's go into the war file, because we have our brave new leader, Donald Trump, who is a patriot above all things. And surely he is going to save the United States Marine Corps from themselves when he woke up and read this article. I hope he took note. The Associated Press reports that female infantry Marines, that right there is a bit hard to spit out, female infantry Marines will be sleeping next to their male counterparts in the field with no special accommodations even. For the female infantry Marines, FIMS, I guess. FIMS, is that what they are? Yes. We have the opinion of Major Charles Anklam III, the executive officer of the 1st Battalion, 8th Marines, out at Camp Lejeune, is the first gender-integrated Marine Infantry Battalion. And Major General Anklam, castrated Obama court eunuch, released a statement saying the following, quote, this is a Marine Corps Major General. He says, quote, we are not changing our special tactical posture or changing how we operate to accommodate the inclusion of female Marines. This has nothing to do with that. It's all because we care so much about everyone, and we want everyone to be equal, and we want everyone to feel like they have a share. They're all part of this unit. This is an important unit. We do important things. And we want everyone, men and women and transgendered and LGBTQ, to all care about each other and to sleep together in the field. All right. Is it obvious that I'm just trying to get through a fog of just drugs and antihistamines? It's pretty bad, folks. Let's see here. The female infantry Marines, the FIMS. The FIMS entry into the unit, that is the 1st Battalion, 8th Marines, Camp Lejeune, was in compliance with the Pentagon directives beginning back in December of 2015 to open all military jobs to women. And so we call on Mr. Trump to stop the madness. Will Mr. Trump stop this type of madness? I actually think he will. This is the kind of sheer insanity that even a self-absorbed strip club operator from New York would look at and say, well, wait a second. We can't have the FIMS sleeping with the infantrymen out there in the mud and the muck. I'm sure he'll be all over that. Now that we've brought it to his attention, I'm sure that he'll be all over that. Let's see here. Oh, one last word on Barack Obama before the door hits him on the way out. Thank you very much. From the War File. Just before leaving office, Barry shipped out 10 jihadists to Oman, Jordan. Yes, let's see here. Out of consideration for the men's humanitarian situation, Barry and his Pentagon announced the transfer of 10 more prisoners out of Guantanamo Bay. A statement was released. The U.S. government says, quote, at the request of Sultan Qaboos and the U.S. government for a solution to the question of Guantanamo detainees, 10 of these detainees arrived in the Sultanate, to reside here temporarily. Oh, that is the Sultan Qaboos. It's Q-A-B-O-O-S. It looks like Qaboos. Sultan Qaboos is helping us by taking in these 10 jihadis temporarily. And, Breitbart reports that Oman has been ruled by Sultan Qaboos bin Said since 1970, and now the population of Guantanamo Bay Prison is down to a mere 45 jihadis, as 10 more move off to sleep in the Sultan's Qaboos there in Yemen. No, Oman, Jordan. I apologize if I've offended any of our Muslim listeners by confusing one third world hellhole for another. I did not mean to do that, to confuse Jordan with whatever that other hellhole was that I confused it with. And we'll just move on. We'll move on to Barack Obama's next mission. His next mission is, well, let's just get right to it. This is, as I predicted, by the way, this is a fulfillment of my prediction, I think. At least I'm going to treat it as such. Malia Obama, that's Barack Obama's... I like the way they report this. Malia Obama, the oldest of Michelle Obama's children. As if he's got a whole bunch and we have to keep track. Did I say he talking about Michelle? I did. I left Barack out because, well, we have no evidence that they're actually his children. They don't really look much like him. But Malia is the oldest of Michelle Obama's children. Let's see. She was attending the protest against the Dakota Access Pipeline. Access, did I say? I meant access. Yeah, take some more antihistamines, kiddo. You're going to be fine. Malia attended the protest against the Dakota Access Pipeline, is what I meant to say, and that indeed did happen. And that begs the question, was she camping out in the freezing cold, eating from a mess kit, doing her business in a bucket in a burlap tent? Can you see Malia Obama, the eldest of Michelle Obama's children? Can you see her out there freezing? Well, it wasn't quite that dramatic. Let's see. Malia was spotted standing shoulder to shoulder with other stars during screenings at the Sundance Film Festival earlier this week. And yeah, she's standing strong with her counterparts there in her dad's organization, protesting the Dakota Access Pipeline. You may remember that earlier, late last week, Trump, that's the president, Trump, issued a memorandum to move forward with the Dakota Access Pipeline, drawing a clear line between himself and his predecessor, and Malia is standing in the gap. Well, at least at Sundance. She's not going to go sleep outside in North Dakota or anything like that. But hey, she really cares. By the way, we have a report that Malia will begin an internship with Harvey Weinstein out at his Hollywood studio. Yes. So, let's see. Harvey, the Weinstein Company, the elite Hollywood pornography studio, will be entertaining Malia and preparing her for, well, community organizing, which I think she'll follow her dad into the whole community organizing career path there. And this brings to mind something about Barack Obama that I think we should all be thankful for. Number one, we should all be thankful that he's no longer the president of the United States. But something to keep in mind about politicians is that the common foibles of man often spare civilization the utter destruction of which that man is capable of. And this has happened to us. How did we survive Barack Obama? It's because he really wanted to be a celebrity. And he's also extremely lazy. Extremely lazy, self-indulgent, and he really just wanted to be a celebrity. So he was so focused on parties at the White House and rubbing elbows with the Hollywood elite that he never could quite get around to utterly destroying civilization. And we should be thankful that Barack Obama was a lazy, star-struck celebrity wannabe. Otherwise, he could have really wrecked the whole thing. It's like Bubba Bill Jeff Clinton. He just wanted to make a lot of money and sleep with a lot of women, and so he was distracted by such things, and it kept him from burning the whole thing all the way to the ground. You know, Hitler, Mao, Stalin, they didn't have any such distractions. They had nothing to interfere with their mission. They were on a mission. Oh, by the way, I've taken a note here that Barack Obama and Bill Clinton were America's first two bastard presidents, as far as I can tell. I don't know of any other presidents we've had who were outright bastards who never knew their fathers. And you know, the thing about a bastard is they're inherently unstable. And they're easily distracted by the creature comforts they lacked growing up. And that's probably been our temporal salvation with the likes of Bubba Bill Jeff and Barack Hussein Obama, as they were so focused on trying to make up for the fact that they were abandoned by their fathers and the deep emotional scars that they bore from that, that they were easily kept from carrying out the ultimate plans of their handlers over at Media Matters and in the bowels of George Soros' cauldron there. That's why everybody wants a piece of the action. Everybody needs a main attraction. I got what everybody needs. Satisfaction guarantees. Everybody wants a piece of the action. we're back. It's the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney, and despite the fact that my extremely audio engineer has suggested we just give it up and just stop trying to do the show because I'm obviously too ill to do it, I just want to reiterate that we will find Barack Obama and his minions and his daughters and his wife and all the people he surrounded himself with there at the Dakota Access protest and organizing all these protests at all the airports around the country against President Trump's inherently common sense decision to restrict Muslim immigration, for crying out loud. That's what I was trying to get at with that last story, but I get distracted by the fuzz in my own head and my extremely attractive audio engineer doing all she can to help with an upbeat tune. Try to get my blood pumping. I do appreciate it. Now let's go further into the dark irony file. This is a report from Saginaw, Michigan. Yes. Let's see here. In November of last year, let's see, can I read this? My eyes are a little out of focus. In November of last year, a man's drug-related prison sentence was commuted by then-President Barack Hussein Obama. You remember all the commutations that Barry was handing out there at the end of his term in office? Which I think has more to do with the fact that Barry is a guilt-ridden criminal himself, and he has a hard time doling out justice to people who even deserve it because he's so guilt-ridden, because he's so guilty. Well, Barry commuted the sentence of this fellow. Let's see. Do we have his name here? I guess it doesn't matter. This fellow got his sentence commuted out there in Saginaw, Michigan. And he was transferred to a federal halfway house out there in Michigan where he was awaiting his early release granted to him by then-President Barack Hussein Obama. That was back in November, you see. Well, last week, two men who did not get the memo from Barry donned masks, went into the halfway house, and shot DeMarlon Thomas, former Saginaw, Michigan gang member, dead. Yes, indeed. His sentence was commuted by Barack Obama, but, well, he got shot because he was a gangster. And let's see here. Do we have any? One person watched over a group of others in the halfway house while another subject located the victim, the aforementioned DeMarlon Thomas, who received the commutation from Barack Obama. He was sought out and executed by other gang members. Yes. You know, even the president oftentimes does not have the power to deny justice, gangland justice in this case. And so the gangster's sentence was commuted. The other gangsters heard about it and they were somewhat offended. Probably Obama voters even too. But they went ahead and shot the guy anyway. And shot him dead, by the way. And they didn't shoot anybody else in the halfway house. So there you have it. More dark, ironic tales from the lingering essence of Obama as it wafts through the room on its way out the ventilation fan of history. Yes, Mr. Obama. We'll see you in North Dakota, Barry, or maybe at JFK, or out here at DIA. You're standing up with the protesters, organizing that whole thing. But the one thing Barry is not going to be able to do is he is not going to be able to organize things via the Clinton Global Initiative because, surprise, 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 the Clinton Global Initiative has been shut down. Yeah. Now, Peter Schweitzer, the author of Clinton Cash, who probably had as much to do with Hillary Clinton losing that election as anyone. I should thank Peter for his efforts on behalf of, well, all of us who did not want to see Hillary Clinton elected president. We thank you, Peter, for your book, Clinton Cash. He says that, here's what Peter Schweitzer, well, the Clinton Global Initiative has been shut down. Now, the Clinton Foundation itself continues to limp along, although donations are down by some accounts by 70%. Donations are, well, they're falling through the floor there. Schweitzer says, let's face it, if they can't sell access to political power, they just don't have a product that people want to donate to. Don't they care about all those AIDS-infected children in Haiti? What, all of a sudden now nobody cares about AIDS in Africa because Hillary's not going to be president? No. You're telling me that they were actually wanting to buy access to political power? Shocking. Anyway, so it's kind of a funny story. The Clinton Global Initiative gets shut down within weeks of Hillary Clinton within weeks of Hillary Clinton's political career being cached out. But Schweitzer has a stern warning. He says there is an essential problem that this presents. This means that the Clintons will have to seek some office somewhere so they can still continue to sell access to their political power. And he warns us that Chelsea may be the next generation. Not Chelsea Manning. Chelsea Clinton, who, as far as we know, has never undergone gender reassignment surgery. And we're not trying to start any rumors here about anything like that. But Chelsea could be the next generation to resurrect the Clinton Global Initiative. There's a rumor that she's going to run for Congress, perhaps in as little as 2 years. And, well, we just can't wait for that, right? Can't wait to see Hillary Clinton run for Congress. Once she's weaned the child, hand it off to the nurse, and she'll run for Congress. All right. Now, speaking of Chelsea Manning, oddly enough that just came up. I've got a story here from the New York Times. Dateline Moscow, Russia, a day after President Obama commuted the sentence of Bradley Manning. The Russians extended asylum for Edward Snowden out there in Russia. You remember Edward Snowden. He was part of the whole WikiLeaks scandal, as was Bradley Manning. Bradley Manning having been, his sentence was commuted by Barack Obama. And the New York Times asked the question, why are Mr. Snowden and Mr. Manning being treated differently? And well, I think the answer is obvious. It's because, well, I mean, you can say a lot about Edward Snowden. And you people, if you've listened to the show, you know how I feel about Edward Snowden. You can say a lot about him, but he was not willing to don the moniker of Edwina Snowden in order to get a pardon or a commutation from the tranophile Barack Obama. Is that a word? Have I coined a new term? Barack Obama is a tranophile. Yes, that means he is irrationally obsessed with transgendered and homosexual freaks. And, you know, you can hear, who's the WikiLeaks? Julian Assange. He's got to be kicking himself in that Ecuadorian, what is he in, an Ecuadorian consulate there? You know, he's like, why didn't I fall for the sex change operation? I never thought of that one. By golly. No. Well, Snowden wasn't willing, and the WikiLeaks guy, the blonde, the freak, Assange, he wasn't willing to do, hey, if you want Barry's attention, or if you wanted Barry's attention, because now Barry's gone, it's obvious what you had to do. And Bradley Manning did it. He went through it. He did the whole thing, although we don't know if he's had the surgery. He took the hormones, he put on the wig, he had the blue eyeshadow, and Barack Obama could not resist and has pardoned him. And I understand that one of Barack Obama's first meetings with politically important people after he exits the White House will be with Bradley Manning. Chelsea Clinton Manning. What did I say? Bradley Manning is what I meant. But you know what I mean. All right. So that's where we'll see Bear. They'll live stream that. The meeting. Barack Obama and Bradley Manning having tea at Barack Obama's newly walled estate there in Washington, D.C. Yes, I found that ironic. As soon as Barry rented that house in D.C., the first thing he did was hire a bunch of bricklayers to build a wall around it, or actually to extend the wall, make it higher. Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I have to correct myself, because in the past, I've been so doubtful that Donald Trump would follow through on any of his promises that I've been extremely critical. And I believe I said on the air once that I doubt he'll even build a wall. But I forgot that Donald Trump is the kind of guy, he wants to build Trump's wall so that 1,000 years from now, like when we look at the Great Wall of China, people will look at the Great Wall of Trump there along the southern border. It'll be Trump's wall. It'll be here for 1,000 years. So Trump will build the wall, I do believe. And he has kept a number of his promises already. What with the Muslim ban, which I appreciate. And what else has he done? He's issued a number of executive orders. I've been too sick. I haven't paid attention. I've been basically delirious, so not able to really follow the news. But for all of you Trumpeteers who are so enthralled and so happy to have your man in the White House, well, congratulations. We'll see how this works out for you. In the meantime, let's go to the hard news of the day, because the hard news of the day happens, and it doesn't really matter who the president is. In fact, the president of the United States has very little to do with anything at all to do with you and me and our lives on a daily basis. Let's go to the Wall Street Journal reporting that from Miami, a teenage girl in Miami committed suicide last Sunday morning while streaming live on Facebook. This is the latest among dozens of violent, criminal, or otherwise antisocial acts streamed live on Facebook. This young lady was broadcasting live from a bathroom and hung herself using a scarf. At some point, a friend of hers was watching the live stream and grew alarmed, called 911. The police arrived, but they were too late. The young girl was hanging from a shower frame and dead. Apparently, she had grappled with issues like bullying over her Haitian heritage at school. Bullying at school. That's sad. But anyway, and the headline from the Wall Street Journal is another live-streamed suicide. So this is all the rage now. Suicide being one of the most selfish acts that anyone can commit. Second or third only to incessantly posting on Facebook. So there's a natural confluence of suicide and Facebook. Because only the most narcissistic people commit suicide. And, they tend to post a lot on Facebook. Not to offend any of you people who post a lot on Facebook. I really appreciate everything you post. Thank you very much. I can't get enough of it. But, anyway, I think it's a natural, it's bound to happen, right? So here we have an actor, another story here from CBS in Los Angeles. From North Hollywood, an aspiring 33-year-old actor from Texas broadcast his suicide on Facebook Live last week, just days after he had been arrested on suspicion of sexual assault. Gets arrested, decides to kill himself, and because he's an actor and he's fairly narcissistic and self-absorbed, he decides to broadcast it live on Facebook. I don't see this as... Well, I should put it another way. I see this as increasing the numbers of suicides here as we go forward into this next year, 2017 year. I think there are going to be a lot more suicides streamed live on Facebook because, well, hey, you may get on the CBS in Los Angeles, make the Wall Street Journal, and, with people who want to kill themselves, they're already selfish and narcissistic, and now they have the ultimate outlet to subject you and I and the rest of the world to their incredibly petty and selfish act. And I don't look forward to things getting any better in the coming year.
Rock and roll tree.
Yes, and the show is going to continue despite the protestations of my extremely attractive audio engineer, just to end it and just put everybody out of their misery. I am going to continue because I feel like I have a duty. Besides, I don't think I can get back into the swing of things if I don't at least make an effort to finish the show. I'm going to make an effort. And for that, we're going to go to the Bamboozled Broadcasting Network, otherwise known as the Christian Broadcasting Network, one of the biggest scams in the history of broadcast television, in my humble opinion. Liars, thieves, cheaters, charlatans over at the Christian Broadcasting Network, in my humble opinion only. They interviewed, guess who? They interviewed Donald Trump. Hey, after all, he had successfully bamboozled them. He owed them an interview after ABC, of course. And so he went on, Donald Trump, the President of the United States, went on the Bamboozled Broadcasting Network and was interviewed by Chief Bamboozler. No, he is the Chief Bamboozler. He was interviewed by one of the chiefest bamboozledists, David Brody, over at CBN, the alleged Christian Broadcasting Network. I used to call them the Christian Begging Network because they spend half their time misappropriating the gospel of Jesus Christ and half the time begging for money so they can do it to you again. Very depressing. Trump was on there. Listen to what one of the Mr. Bamboozledist, David Brody, asked. Listen to how he asked the question. This is a problem with masculinity in Christianity these days. CBN's David Brody asked the president, quote, the refugee changes that you're looking to make as it relates to persecuted Christians, do you see them as kind of a priority here? Kind of, maybe, kind of? Anyway, just ask the question. Mr. Trump, do you think persecuted Christians are a priority now that you're the President of the United States? And then let Trump hit it out of the park. But no, in Christian television, no one's ever sure if anything they're saying has anything at all to do with the truth. And so they're incredibly timid. And so are they kind of a priority? Kind of, Mr. Trump, maybe? Kind of. Anyway, Trump said, yes, they've been horribly treated. Horribly. Hey, under Obama, if you were a Muslim, you could come right in. But if you're a Christian, it was almost impossible. So we're going to help them, says Trump. Trump's going to help the Christian refugees from Syria. And we are thankful for that. We always give credit where credit is due. When Mr. Trump does the right thing, we will acknowledge that he is doing the right thing. And the right thing to do is to rescue the Christians out of Syria and Iraq, where George W. Bush drove the Christian community to the brink of extinction. Yes, we should rescue the Christians out of Syria while raining down hellfire and damnation upon their enemies is what we should be doing. Anyway, Trump says he's going to help them, and that's just one. But, of course, we will not ever give Donald Trump credit without pointing out that he has neglected his very first responsibility as President of the United States to defend the lives of his citizens, all of them. And he has the power to do it, but he hasn't done it. Oh, you say he doesn't have the president doesn't have the power to end abortion in America. The Supreme Court has ruled. Well, I'm going to get to a story a little bit later that will just put the lie to all that. Donald Trump has signed a number of executive orders in his first week in office, not one of them having to do with stopping the killing of a single innocent child in America. Not a single one. But all my conservative, I shouldn't say my conservative friends, because my conservative friends agree with me. They're not idiots. But my Fox News associates, that's what I'll call them. My Fox News associates, they have this secret belief that way deep down, Donald Trump's just waiting for the right moment to spring it on everybody. Any minute, he's going to come out. Anyway, So they're bamboozled. Was that the end of that story? Oh, yes. So he's Donald Trump tells CBN that he's going to help the Christian refugees in Syria. And he will help them with a half effort. And I'm being diplomatic. It'll be a half-baked effort because he's got bigger things on his mind, mostly money and the economy and money and jobs and the economy and money. Those are the main things on Donald Trump's mind, and that's the main thing on the mind of all you bamboozled who voted for him. Don't give me that. I know what you were thinking about. You were thinking about your own pocketbook and your own neck. Yeah, I know you're afraid of terrorists. I'm afraid of terrorists. Anyone who's sensible is afraid of terrorists. But you should never put your hand with someone who's willing to kill the innocent in order to save your own neck from the terrorists. That never works out well. But that's where we are. All right, now we have a report from the Justice File from the Sun in the United Kingdom. We're back to live streaming on Facebook. Two migrants from Afghanistan have been arrested over the live streaming of a three-hour gang rape of a woman live streamed on Facebook. The two men are 18 and 20, were in cahoots with a Swedish citizen, age 24. They've all been detained. The Swedish citizen was detained on suspicion of failing to reveal the rape. So this is the problem, is that, yes, the Muslim invaders into Europe, they're hell-bent on conquest and changing the face of Europe. But here you've got this 24-year-old Swedish man who is a poster boy for what the face of Europe is. And by golly, maybe it needs to be changed. If you've got Swedish citizens willing to participate or at least cover up for the live streaming of a brutal assault on an innocent woman, it's just sad. Who do you root for in this case? The Swedes? For crying out loud. Well, this guy does not acquit himself very well as a Swede. Let's see. According to the Sun, the three men cannot be legally identified under Swedish law, and we have no idea why. It's because the Swedish do whatever they can to protect the guilty. Because they're all a bunch of pedophiles, in my humble opinion. They've all got so much dirt to hide that they dare never cast an aspersion on anyone, even someone who live streams a rape on Facebook. They can't even bring themselves to reveal the identity of such despicable I hesitate to use the word human beings. All right. Now, speaking of people who are despicable and do not rate the moniker of human beings, we go to CBS in New York from the Justice File, Dateline, New York City. Peter Olszewski is a New York resident. He now has second-degree burns on his hands and arms after he woke up on the subway on fire. Yes, police said that Peter was purposely set on fire by an 18-year-old man from Brooklyn. The suspect is identified as Christopher Jackson of Brooklyn. He didn't try to get away. He just stood there bizarrely laughing as he lit the man on fire and then watched him trying to put himself out. The victim, Olszewski, says, "I was screaming from the pain. I was trying to put out the flames. And he was enjoying it." That is Mr. Christopher Jackson, 18-year-old resident of Brooklyn. And now a poster boy for what America is becoming. Is it any wonder that things are changing? Is it any wonder that the Muslims are beginning to exert their influence on Western civilization? Well, we've become, frankly, uncivilized. Court records show that Mr. Jackson, the perpetrator here, had been charged earlier with setting an arson fire at a Queens high school back in October, and for some reason, he was still on the streets. When anyone with any common sense knows that if you are convicted of setting an arson fire, you should be executed with extreme prejudice. But no, he was on the subway, and he set Peter on fire. And now Peter
Well,
he's not doing very well. And all of New York was somewhat shocked by this story, but not all that shocked, because it's just not all that shocking, because it happens so often. Now, to all my Trumpeteer friends out there, my Fox News associates, no, acquaintances, not associates, acquaintances, from the New York Post. Now, you all remember that Donald Trump has issued a ban on Muslim immigration, causing some poor Muslims to be caught up at the airport and sent home, and everybody's freaking out. Well, according to the New York Post, the ACLU is getting multiple reports that federal custom agents are siding with President Trump and willfully ignoring a Brooklyn federal judge's demand that travelers from seven Muslim countries not be deported. What? Are you saying that a judge's order does not carry with it the weight of law, and that bureaucrats, in especially in the executive branch of the administration, are able to ignore the opinion of some judge in Brooklyn? Yes, as a matter of fact, they are. Despite the fact that ACLU lawyers want an emergency stay of Trump's deportation order, reports are that federal customs agents are actually obeying Mr. Trump's order and not the judge's order, meaning that if it was really in Mr. Trump's heart, and if he really cared about the murder of innocent people, that he could issue a federal order immediately regarding the abortion issue, and bureaucrats could start obeying him instead of the judges, and he could initiate the conflict that would be necessary to end the Holocaust of over 60 million people in America. But you can wait 4 years. You can watch Fox News for 8 years. It ain't gonna happen, because it ain't in Mr. Trump's heart. Hey, take a listen. I'm your host, Doug McBurney, joined in studio, as always, by my effervescent and upbeat, extremely attractive audio engineer. Barely been able to keep her attention. She's lobbied in the third break to just end it. Please stop, but we have to get to the culture file. Do I even want to do this? This is going to even bother you more. Well, we'll just do this real quickly here, because, as you know, Theresa May was the first head of state to visit with the historic President Donald J. Trump there in the White House, his first foreign head of state to visit. And while it was fine to see one of Europe's preeminent leaders in meeting with the president, I'm so glad that he didn't fly to Egypt or Syria or, well, who else? Yemen, Saudi Arabia. At least he wasn't bowing before them. But while Ms. May was representing our European counterparts, there in the White House. Over in Spain, an LGBT rights group began distribution of materials to Spanish preschools and primary schools. The material is a guide of sorts, and it's called It's Natural, Diversity in the Animal Kingdom. Sounds nice, right? Diversity in the Animal Kingdom. It sounds like they're going to talk about the many different types of wild animals, maybe birds or fish. It's produced by the Andalusian Rainbow Federation, and it intends to show, quote, real examples of transsexuality, intersexuality, and homosexuality in various species of animals for all the kiddos. This is what's happening in Europe. The Antediluvian Rainbow Federation. I'm sorry, I meant Andalusian. Did I say Antediluvian? Sending children from the public schools looking for a dictionary. I said Antediluvian. Yes, the Antediluvian Rainbow Federation is handing out booklets on how animals, well, let's see, the guide takes the form of a calendar with each month featuring images of two male lions, two female albatrosses, two male giraffes. I don't have to get into describing what wild animals sometimes do because they're animals, for crying out loud. Well, the Antediluvian Rainbow Federation there in Spain is presenting this to the young children in Europe as if this is natural and normal. And that's why everyone's allowed to be a homo pervert is because sometimes two giraffes, you know, whatever. It also refers to trans animals, I said, such as the clownfish, which naturally changes sex as they grow older. And then the literature tries to relate this to human transsexualism for all the, let's see, primary and preschool children there in Europe. Yeah. Okay. So that's what's happening in Europe. Anything else? A poster campaign across northern Spain. Well, I can't read this. It's too, I could probably be arrested for reading what the posters that they're putting up in Spain. I think that would be against the law for me to read what's right here on the air. So I'm not going to do that. It's despicable. I'll put a link up on the site, but it's just unbelievable. Anyway, there's a campaign of a poster campaign across northern Spain. Well, I can't really report on it. That's all. It's funded by an anonymous American donor. That's all I can say about it. You'll have to look into what it is because I don't believe you can say that on the air. Anyway, proving the old axiom that America's number one export is indeed sexual immorality, as a matter of fact. And isn't that the case at the end of great empires? Is that all they can do is entertain themselves and pervert and corrupt and defile one another right before they're overrun by the barbarians. All right, now, the big question on everyone's mind, of course, is the Sanctity of Human Life Act, which was reintroduced by Representative Jody Heiss, a Georgia representative. Romper.com is where I got this story. I'd never heard of this website. Romper, like Romper Room. Does anybody remember Romper Room? You don't remember Romper Room. It was like a preschool show. It was on when I was a little kid. Romper.com reports that this Sanctity of Human Life Act would grant fertilized eggs the right to life. And the big question, of course, that Romper has: how will the personhood bill affect LGBTQ families? First of all, a note to Romper: if you classify yourself as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or queer, you are not a family by definition. So that is non sequitur. Second of all, I don't know that the LGBTQ community is all that hell-bent on procreation, so I'm not sure how the personhood bill will affect the lesbians, gays, bisexuals, transgendered, queers, homos and faggots and perverts. Maybe we'll make that the LGBTQ FPH. Faggots, perverts, and homos. You know, you notice they don't call themselves faggots, perverts, and homos. They call themselves lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, even queer now. But never, they never go with the faggots, the perverts, or the homos. So that's what we will continue to refer to them as. Let's see. The personhood bill, according to Romper.com, could potentially open the door for doctors to face criminal charges related to in vitro fertilization. That's it. That's the LGBTQFPH angle. Is in vitro fertilization, because everyone knows that if you engage in LGBTQFPH activity, you're generally not going to have any children, and so you have to go to the test tube and the beaker there in the laboratory. And so now all the faggots and perverts are obsessed about the fact, they're upset about the fact that they may not be able to have their test tube babies. The Sanctity of Human Life Act could make it difficult for LGBTQFPHs to procreate. Okay, they do have other options, like adoption, which would still technically exist. Well, we'll be working on that, we the normal people, to try to keep the LGBTQFPHs from adopting innocent children as well. Anyway, should I send out a congratulations to Representative Jody Heiss for introducing the Sanctity of Human Life Act there in Congress? I suppose I should, but for some reason I'm just not all that encouraged about the fact that that the murder of innocent people will end through some legislative action or even some executive action. I just I'm kind of pessimistic about all that. Very, very pessimistic about all that. So it's similar to how do you roll back the LGBTQFPH? How do you roll all that back? Legislatively? No. Executive order? I don't think so. I don't know. Something has to happen to change people's hearts. And I think generally people's hearts don't change on such issues until they literally have the hell scared out of them. And it's sad that it has to come to that, but you know, that's probably where we are, Mr. Cheerful here. Yep, you're probably right. I should have just stopped halfway through, because now you end up kind of depressing. Hey, let's go to San Francisco, just in case that last story left you depressed with the LGBTQFPHs and their IVF. And let's go to San Francisco, where a recent survey records the population of the city by the bay at 865,000. And adults in San Francisco have roughly the same number of dogs as children. Yes, there are about 120,000 pet dogs in San Francisco, and there are about 120,000 people under the age of 18. In many areas, according to the New York Times, pet grooming shops seem more common than schools. Yeah. That's the left coast for you. Out in Seattle, by the way, the Seattle Student Council, the Seattle City Council has approved their safe injection sites for junkies so that junkies can go. They can shoot up heroin. There will be a medically trained professional on staff with drugs to reverse the effects of an overdose there in Seattle. San Francisco, Seattle, two cities that have completely given up any hope for the future. No children, but you can shoot up in the park. We'll have the grass nicely manicured. Have a nurse on hand who can reverse the effects should you unfortunately overdose there in the park. All right, so I'm obviously delirious, and I should have ended that at least a half an hour ago, but I appreciate you bearing with us and tolerating, just trying to help me get back into the swing of things. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com. at AmericanRideToLife.com. And, of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview Studios. Should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.